Reading from the book of Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me as a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you may keep them open to the book of Philemon. You have an outline in your bulletin, and it reads from the top, Grace, Breaking and Building, Message on Philemon. Grace breaks barriers and brings people to God and to each other. This book could have been entitled a number of other things. Tearing Down Walls. If you like history in contrast to Dickens' understanding of it, or not in contrast, but looking back, the difference between Paris and Paris and England, you could have called this particular book A Tale of Two Cities. That is, Colossae and then the city of Rome, because you have a slave running away from Colossae and he finds Christ in the city of Rome. If you had a vacation Bible school for children and you used this passage as part of the VBS lesson, you could have called this a kingdom caper. The case of the runaway slave. Cracking the character code of love. But regardless of the title, it is a message on the book of Philemon. And the joy and power of this message is that God's grace through Jesus Christ breaks down barriers. The barrier and the wall of sin and guilt and fear and heartache and anything that could be in your face that God's grace breaks down walls that are in front of you that may have you paralyzed or crippled this morning as a teenager, as a young mom, a dad, a grandparent, that God's grace indeed breaks down walls. And after the walls are broken, it builds up souls in His blood for all eternity. Amen? Amen. Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists will all say amen in heaven together. The word is not a denominational distinctive. It is just in God's word, amen. Amen and amen. Those of you old enough to remember the Berlin Wall, and if you cannot remember that, then you can open your Bible and see how that the wall in Babylon was not broken, but it was gone under because of God's plan to change empires from Babylon to Medo-Persian. But we all understand the idea of barriers, certainly physical barriers. And when we think of barriers, we look at the political climate and we would wonder how that there can be any understanding between races, black and white, Orient and Occident, slave and free. Look at the walls between old and young, men and women, rich and poor, city and country, big and small, blue collar, white collar, college, non-college, Democrat, Republican, Semitic, non-Semitic, Jewish, non-Jewish. And if you wondered about walls, I suppose in a contemporary historical point of view, if you could muster up a few bucks, you could always go to Ireland and check out the walls that are still left there in Belfast, or when, as you see, the religious persecution. God chose the nation of Israel. He chose them for His glory. There are mysteries in God's Word that are beyond my understanding, but I praise God that He is so good, He is so sweet, and He is so faithful, and that all of that comes out of His nature. God, in His own wisdom, chose Israel. He did not choose them because they had blonde hair, blue eyes, or nice noses. He chose them for His glory. He set His love upon them for His glory. He did not choose them because they were smarter, because they were taller, they were faster. He chose them for His glory. He set His love upon them for His own glory. He chose them and He gave to them His word. And if I look back in history, I can see, certainly biblical history, I can see the blessings of God. As a kid, my name was Richard Anderson. For a number of years, I lived at 3100 Morgan Drive in Long Island. Long Island, New York. You saw that? Yeah, Long Island, right. To the left and to the right of me were my two friends. On 3100 Morgan Drive, up the street was Martin Levy. Down the street was Stuart Stein. And I was in the middle, Richard Anderson. Sounds pretty Gentile, doesn't it? Yes. And my two buddies were Jewish kids. I was allowed to go to some of their Jewish ceremonies, but when things got thick and there was a bar mitzvah and I was being invited to some of those things, it did not take me long to feel, to get the impression I was not Jewish. Now Martin liked me and Stuart liked me. I never got any grief from them. We played baseball together. They were my buddies, all the way up from 10, 11, and 12 years old. But I felt as an outsider when I went to some of the other celebrations. It became evident that Richard Anderson was not Hebrew. And even if I had had a skull cap, I still wasn't Hebrew. But now, in Christ Jesus, there is neither what? Jew or Gentile. In Christ Jesus, we are all invited, right, through the blood of Christ to the one God, one Savior, to that one salvation. I don't believe I'll see Martin Levy or Stuart Stein on this side of heaven. But I do know that the grace of God breaks down barriers and walls. The book of Philemon, in these very short verses, is a book whereby it is evident to the Apostle Paul that Philemon, a godly, godly, loving believer, a godly Christian man, has before him obstacles that he is going to have to deal with. Number one, to forgive the debt of Onesimus. He is a runaway slave. To forgive his debt and those things that he has done against his owner, and to accept the payment of Paul, to set Onesimus free from slavery, possibly, and to accept Onesimus no longer as a slave, but as a brother. Reconciliation is hard, isn't it? It is. You're here this morning, and there may be some of you, when you look internally, when you look inside your family, when you look inside your community, and you look at the issues that have taken place in your life, and you wonder how reconciliation could take place. How that someone could love you when such and such has happened. I'm not sure I understood the first time I heard the term Hatfield and then McCoy, the idea of feuding families. But there are many families that feud. There are brothers and sisters even in Christ that feud. Feuding takes place. Obstacles and walls come about. I can think of some situations right now, and I would say that I would desperately like to see the walls broken down. But I would need what verse 3 says in Philemon, grace add to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, because it would take the grace of God to break down these walls. I cannot. Ivan DeMaster has been a dear friend for a number of years. And he and I have prayed together. We've tried to pray together once a week over the years in different places. He's in Maine right now. We pray together over the phone. We talk and fellowship and pray for an hour or so, just for him to build me up and for me to build him up. We pray to build each other up. The wall, praise God, of space is not a wall. But we have a situation here where there is a wall. And so Paul is addressing, he is addressing a situation. And I would say right now that as you sit here, and I wonder what might be in your heart today. As you would look at the future of Covenant, OPC. And there might be some walls. And unbelief creeps in, does it not? Take a rug and beat it. And get all the dust out of it. Then give it to me. I will get more dust out of it. If you're looking for a leaven, a little leaven, what? Leavens quite easily. But there can be some unbelief right now seeping into our hearts as we would trust God for continued growth and for souls coming to this church and then growing and then going and then serving. And so may the barrier, whatever barriers, may those barriers be broken. May the barrier of unbelief or discouragement, may those barriers fall and may they topple. I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell will what? Will not prevail against it. So we have here Paul, and he's writing to Philemon, and you have your outline. And so, grace, what does grace do? Grace makes us beloved friends. Philemon, are you on the same page that I am? I'm on the page of the Word of God, of Jesus Christ. This is my page, says Paul. The preciousness of the blood of Christ, this is the page I am on. That Christ what? The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is that Christ died, was buried, and He rose again according to what? According to the Scriptures. And so, Paul can write Philemon as a brother on the same page. Amen? Amen. It's good to be on the same page, isn't it? The problem is when someone's in a feelings page. People are on the page of relationship. Oh, I want to have a relationship. I want to have feelings. I want warm and fuzzy. I want this. I want that. No, what you really want is to be on the same page. Because if you're going to be reconciled, work with Christian brothers and sisters in a local church. The page that you want to be on is the page of truth, right? Get on that page. Sit down together, read your Bibles together. Don't preach at somebody. That's not a good thing to say when I'm preaching, isn't it? But what I'm really saying is this. If we're going to have in our own lives walls broken down before us, and if we would work together, and in this particular case, a brother is going to be restored, then you have an older apostle who really doesn't call himself an apostle in this book, just a prisoner. He does not use apostolic authority. He just says, I, Paul, am writing. Look at that. Catch that in verse 1 and 2. I am writing. I am not handing out my ordination certificate. I am just writing to you as one who's in jail. As a matter of fact, I'm writing to you as a man who would very much like to have this fellow who has come to Christ. He got saved. Here's a man who came to Christ, and I'd like him to stay here with me, but I think it'd be better for him and you if he comes back. But here's what's for sure. The first point is this. Grace makes us beloved friends. We recognize the value of prayer. Philemon is a man who's loved. You can see it there in the scripture. In verse 1, he's beloved. He's a fellow worker. He has a family. He's got Apphia and Archippus, probably his wife and son. He has a local church. He's committed. He's committed. He does need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. But he has a testimony. And Paul says this. He says, Philemon, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for you because you are serving God. And you are being faithful. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you. You can pray for someone who is not saved to get saved, right? You pray for a non-Christian to become a Christian. That's it. You pray that their heart will be softened. You pray that the Spirit of God will convict them. You pray that you could be friendly to them. He who would have friends must show himself friendly. You pray that their heart, that they would visit, that they would hear God's Word, that the walls would be broken down, that you could win them, that the light of God's Word would open their heart. That is your prayer for someone to come to Christ. But then when someone is a Christian, they now being in the kingdom, there are so many different facets to what they can be doing in Christ. Right? Yeah. And so this is the prayer that Paul has for Philemon. And he says, I want to thank you for your testimony. Yeah, you have a testimony. Listen, I really think that we're so stuck in pride that we sometimes forget that our testimony could be just as simple as calling someone up. What's your name?
James.
James, Richard. Good to meet you, son.
You.
Good to meet you. Just calling someone up and just saying, hi, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Who are you? I'd like to get to know you. Let's have a cup of coffee together. In other words, testimony sometimes seems to be rated on this big scale. In other words, the scale of that I do these dynamic things. What about the testimony of love? And thank you for water today, for pouring a cup of water for me. That's a great testimony because I need the water. What about just a handshake? Are any of us sufficient for God's ministry? Are any of us? No one is sufficient. Paul said that when he wrote the church of Corinth. I'm not sufficient for the ministry of Christ. Well, if I'm not sufficient, it appears to me that being friendly, being helpful, being merciful, being kind, and being on that page along with the Word of God, being in the Word is a very good testimony, isn't it? And so the Apostle Paul is really acknowledging Philemon's testimony. He says, you've got a testimony of love, you've got a testimony of faith, and so he is really acknowledging the Christian man that he really is. But also, if you go to verse 6, he says this, doesn't he? He says, I pray for you that you may be active in sharing. And active in sharing. Well, I believe a number of folks would say that going from door to door today, that is not relational. I agree that there ought to be as many things that we ought to do, whether it's meals for anything that we can do that is done decently and in order within the confines of Scripture to bring them in from the fields of sin. Bringing people in so they can see that we do love them, that we care about them, that we want them to come to know the Lord as our Savior. So Paul is praying for this testimony, sharing your faith. And then he says also that you'll know what's right and what's wrong. And then, of course, thanking Philemon for the fact that he's been so refreshed. That is, Paul has been refreshed. Wow. Paul, the prisoner in jail, is recognizing the Spirit of God in Philemon. And that's wonderful. Because as he does this in this portion of Scripture, in these verses, keep in mind that what he is really doing is he's describing to Philemon what he means to him. And he's also outlining the kind of man that Onesimus is going to be able to go back to. Describe yourself today. Describe what your Christian life is today. Who you are and what you are in Christ. And so if I am whatever I am, do I want people to come to me? Do I have something of the grace of God and the conviction of God? Do I have that which is in me that someone else wants? And so Philemon is described in the first part of this letter. Well, you have here just a fascinating portion of Scripture in the next 8 verses, because Philemon is going to meet someone that he thought was gone. And that can happen when you and I would think that something is over the hill and it's out of reach, and that an issue way, way back then, that there's nothing left that can be done about it. Some years ago, back in the 70s, when hair was long. For 8 years, I worked with Glenn Teasdale. And Glenn, for 4 years, was the senior director of the junior high week at Chautauqua Baptist Assembly. And then I worked with him I filled his spot for 4 years. But the hair cutting standards for camp changed. I have a lot of thoughts on that. The 60s were hard for young men facing Vietnam, and the 70s were hard on the church if they had long hair. Seems strange. It never has been an issue to me, really. But somehow a standard for length of hair was placed on the camp, and I didn't know about it, so that kids going to camp had to have a certain hair length, and I was the dean of that week. So I was asked, when I got to camp, as I looked at all these boys, to either cut their hair or ship them home. Now, I'm not going to go into a study on that part. We can talk later. But I do remember pastors and other people that said, Richard, we're really behind you. Well, in this particular case, as I faced the issue, folks were behind me. But when I looked around, I couldn't see anybody. It was the scissors and me and the boys trying to figure out what to do with a hair standard that I didn't have a part of. And it's not that I didn't want things to be done decently and in order. I did. But that issue, I stood there alone. And something out of a decision that had been made was dropped on top of me. And I bring that to your attention because no doubt Philemon was totally unaware of the fact that this runaway slave had gone to Rome and had come to Christ and became a Christian and became a believer. But now he himself was going to be confronted with perhaps the greatest challenge in his life concerning the fact that at that time there are probably 60 million slaves in the Roman world, and that the control of slaves and the whole function of slaves was a cultural mandate and the way that it operated. And so Philemon is now going to be faced with, what do I do? Not just as a man coming back to me as a brother, but what do I do with his cultural standing? What do I do? Big issue, big problem. And to look back and to see why Paul was encouraging Philemon in the grace of God to trust in Christ and to have that spirit. In other words, just stay the course, Philemon. This is what you've done. This is what you've done with your wife. This is what you've done with your son. This is what you do with people in the church. This is how you operate in the community. I'm recognizing everything you've done. Now here's a big problem coming your way. But what? Don't get shook up. This may be the biggest cultural issue that you're facing, but stay what? Stay the course. Hang on to that Lord, hang on to the truth, and just keep going down the road. Is that good news? Someone's going to tell you right now, well, these are different days. These are different days for the church. The church needs to deal with the problems that it has, with the president that it has, with this. The church needs to change. It needs to be relevant. It needs to do this. It needs to do that. No, the church needs to what? Stay the course. Stay in the truth. Stay in the Word. And so, Philemon, I'm going to drop a big name on you right now. And so, although I could order you, Philemon, although I could order you, I come to you in love. This has been the operating principle, Philemon, that you've gone on. The operating principle, Philemon, that you've been a man who has shared his heart. You moved the furniture. You set up the pulpit. You set up the piano. You set up everything. You have a church in your home, Philemon. And so you've been a man who's plodded and trotted along. You've been faithful in little things. You've kept going, Philemon. And now I want to tell you, I appeal to you for my son, verse 10, Onesimus. Was that name in prayer? I don't know. Was that name a name that Philemon had prayed about a great deal? No doubt. But now it was going to be a name coming to Philemon in a totally different context. The context in verse 10 is, I appeal to you for my son, who became my son while I was in chains, formerly useless to you, but now useful to both you and to me. Isn't that glorious to be able to say, staying the course? That's exciting to me, because the issues that we face right now, cars for clunkers, clunkers for cars, or clunkers running the program, whichever way you want to state it. But the whole thing is a clunk. I mean, the health program. Okay. Philemon, staying the course. A man who robbed you, a man who disobeyed you, a man who shamed you, a man who ran away from you is coming back to you. And he's coming back. And he's going to be your friend. And he's changed. And guess what? He's not going to laugh at a church meeting in a school or in a small building, because he's already been confined to small space with me. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, write to you that this man is my son, and I am sending him back a changed man. And he, although he could stay with me now, will be useful to you in your local church. Local church. Local church. After I preach, I can be useful. I can help fold the chairs. I can help carry plates or books. Shake hands. Get a drink of water. Go back and see this dear grandma, 100 years old. Hi. I can be useful in small things. And useful in other things too as well. But if we have any usefulness, it's because of the blood of Christ. We have usefulness is because we believe in that God of the Word of God. We believe in the Lord God. I send Him back to you. Useful. Useful. Unuseful people out there, come in here. Hear God's Word. Receive Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the living God is in them. Hide God's Word in your heart. Useless people become useful people, and they can meet in the church in your home or meet in the church in the school. He's a changed man. And if there's a debt, I would be glad to pay the debt. Well, I want to go down and close. If you consider me a partner, the third part, here's what grace does. It breaks and builds. So I want to be a burden partner with you in this ministry. So if you consider me a partner, a valued partner, welcome him as you would me. If he's done anything wrong, if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Verse 19, I, Paul, I'm writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back, not to mention you owe me your very self. And so you know that now that Paul, speaking in love, is reminding Philemon that he came to Christ through Paul's ministry. And Paul is totally confident of his obedience and of the fact that he is going to, as he has refreshed Paul, that now he's going to refresh Onesimus as well. I can't wait to see you, Philemon. I want to get out of jail. But God put me in jail because the man who ran away from you, thinking he would hide in Rome, bumped into me. I'll tell you all about how it happened in detail, how that this one who thought he could be in darkness came to the light. I will tell you when I see you, if you'll just prepare a guest room for me, I'll sit down in one chair and you can sit down in the other chair and we can talk and have coffee or water together. And we can rehearse how good God is in Colossae and how good God is in Rome. How good our God is. How souls are still being saved, right? In all cities, in all nations. How that the gospel is still what? Going forth. How that the grace of God is breaking barriers. How that it's still building people. How that it's taking people out of slavery and putting them into usefulness. I think of the bonds that might be on any of our hearts today. Maybe guilt, maybe the past, maybe financial jealousy, just that pressure that comes about living in this country. If you and I are in Nicaragua today, we're maybe sitting on a small chair, looking at brown dirt, looking at a brown country, wiping sweat off our brow, 90 to 100 degrees every day. You know, fresh fruit, but not much of a place to live, as so many places are in this present world. That pressure that comes on us in the United States of America, the satanic pressure to watch things we should not watch, or be involved in things that we should not be involved in. The cry for our hearts today needs to be so much, oh God in heaven, may that barrier, and I tell you my barrier, oh God, that wall that is in front of me, oh Lord God, might that wall be broken in front of me. And may your grace build up my life that I might serve you effectively. May I come to know you as my personal Lord and Savior and trust you as my God and my King. I'm coming back to you, Philemon, and I'm going to need more refreshment. So I send Onesimus to you. He'll get there first. Many years later, when one of the church fathers was writing as he was on his way to Rome, some 50 years later than this, a letter was sent to the churches in Asia Minor that state, I am on my way to Rome to prison. And this particular church father said, however, you have a brother there who can encourage your heart. His name is Onesimus. 50 years later, when Onesimus was at the end of his life, he was encouraging. He was making profitable the churches that were in that area. This week, Bob and Emmy Lindgren came to see me with their son, Norman Lindgren. Bob is shaking. He squeezed my hand. Bob was a deacon and helped start the Faith Baptist Church here in Milwaukee. Day after day, he and Emmy encouraged me. They loved me. They forgave me as a young pastor. They put up with me. They folded chairs with me. They worked with me. In the church, in a basement, at the Holiday Inn, and in a building. They're still alive. It was so good to see them. So good all these years later to be refreshed by them. The fact that it's a Baptist church is not the point. It is a church where people can come and hear God's Word. It is the lighthouse. I passed a lot of churches as I was coming here this morning. But in my heart, I couldn't wait to get here because I had that deepest sense in my soul that you are standing true to the gospel, true to the Word of God, true to Jesus Christ. And with all your hearts, you want to see a local church that helps you and saves souls and pulls people out of bondage and brings them to the living God. Amen? Amen. And with that knowledge, as the miles got closer and closer, never having been here before, I thought, wow, wow, soon I'm going to be in the midst of saints working, folding chairs, putting out hymnals, knocking down walls, and ministering together in the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word. And I would just ask you, O Lord God, this very morning, that if there is someone here today who does not know you, if there is someone like myself so many years ago who would say, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist. If someone would, Lord, be here today and they would say, I'm okay because I'm a church member. I'm a church member. But Lord, if they do not know you as their personal Savior, I would ask you, O Lord God, that they would realize without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here today who has never believed on you, never called on you, who has never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I now receive you as my Savior. I, a sinner, a hell-bound sinner. I do not want to go to hell. I believe you're the Son of God. Please come into my heart and save me. If there would be anyone here today, I pray that right now, wherever they might be seated, they might pray, O Lord God, I call upon you. Save my soul. Come into my heart. I want to know you as my Savior. And for Christians here this morning, myself and all of these dear friends, whatever wall or barrier there might be in front of a life, that we might realize how faithful the grace of God is in breaking down the walls, in canceling sin, in separating our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, in clearing of guilt, in taking away heartache, and putting our feet on a right path and steering us in that right course. We ask, O God in heaven, draw our hearts to Thee today, to Thee. May we be refreshed as Philemon refreshed, as Onesimus refreshed, as Paul was refreshed. May we as a body in this school refresh each other in the Spirit of God, in the blood of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen.